Brother Tantek Singh. So I'm just going to get him to share for 5 or 6 minutes, and any longer than that, and remember, Tinky is watching.
Well, thank you, Graham, and I stand before you just to testify the goodness of God. And also thank you so much for really praying for me yesterday. You know, yesterday morning when I was preparing to come here and I was feeling somehow that there was some kind of earthquake going on in Auckland, you know, and I didn't feel so good. And so my friend somehow, the Lord, you know, prompted him to quickly take out his, you know, the blood pressure machine just to measure me. And when he measured me 3 times, and my blood pressure shot up almost to close to 200 upon 117. And it was really a dangerous point, you know, at that point in time. And he said that you stay, you know, better take a rest and, you know, you can't go to the convention. And I say, I must go to the convention to meet all my good friends, you know. He said, you go there, you collapse. So I say, anyway, so I rested. But my blood pressure didn't come down till the, you know, till about 6 o'clock. You know, still maintained about 197, and it was very high. And I still was not feeling very well. And I believe that there must be prayer after that from all of you. And also the my friend's medical doctor, and came to treat me, his own personal doctor, and I was known. And then I received the treatment, and to God be the glory. Yeah, today I stand here to testify His goodness, you know, that He is great. Amen. You know, the difference between Chinese name and English name is always the difference. You see, because most of us, like in Chinese, we say, Ni hao ma, is how are you? But if you turn the word around, it's, Ma ni hao, mother, how are you? Huh? And if you turn, you know, if you say the other way, it's ni ma hao, it's also different. How is your mother? You know? So it is a very different meaning, especially. So that's why for the Westerners, sometimes they get confused. And especially even for us traveling around, sometimes we also get confused, especially when you change from hotel to hotel, right? And the last 1 week I've been traveling, I changed 4 hotels. You know, and when you change the hotel, every night you can see that, you know, your hotel room, the toilet is always on different end of the, you know, you don't know where the toilet is. And especially, you know, nighttime when you get up in the night, you know, when you don't want to disturb your wife. So in the night, and you thought that the hotel room, you know, was on the other side, and you keep on pushing and knocking your head, but it was on, you know. So that's where you need the light. So when you switch on the light, you see the toilet. Amen? So, Jesus is the light. And all of us are in the light. Amen? And God has got a word for all of us because we are all saved by grace to do His good works. Amen? And God wants us to say that, look, you know, after you are saved, do we just stand here or do we just, you know, be complacent of what we are doing? No. The answer is He wants you to go out and reach for more souls. And I look at many of you here are so influential people. You are so godly people. You know, we were so blessed by the New Zealanders, missionaries who came to Malaysia many years ago. And we were all blessed. And today, Malaysia Christians are on fire for the Lord. But somehow, I think that you are into the winter time, you feel so cold. You know, the atmosphere here is not as on fire as, you know, we are in the Asian region. And I believe God is going to raise all of you up while you are still alive and kicking, you know. Because, you know, I was thinking that to myself yesterday, I was sitting down there, I say, God, oh no, what happened if I go and collapse and I disappear from this world, you know. And I say that, you know, God is going to raise each and every one of us to go there and win more souls. And while I was in China, in China, and it was so easy for us to win the Chinese souls. Everybody was so hungry. And in lunch, dinner, in 4 days, in the lunch and dinner, you know, there were 17 of them get their life to Jesus. Nothing else. There is no, you know, not religious, just sharing testimony. And I look at some of the testimonies outside there. It was so powerful testimonies. Many of you can invite your friends and share the powerful testimonies and bring them to Christ. Amen? In Malaysia, we bring them, we fish them, we send our fish back to the churches for the churches, the pastors to feed them, you know. But I do not know in the end who cooked the fish, you know. So, but I really thank God because today we are seeing that, you know, the whole China now, after we have, you know, the we were there, there were about 200 over leaders, you know, congregating in Hainan Island, and they were praying and they were seeking the Lord, and they know what is God's specific, you know, destiny for China. And in the year 2030, they are going to take China, at least 30% of the Chinese will become Christian. Amen? And they say that in China, they cannot have the Muslim. They cannot have this Islam as their religion. Why? Because if they have Islam as their religion, many Chinese will suffer because every Chinese love to eat pork. So the Muslim people, they cannot eat pork, right? So they say that, you know, there's no way the Chinese can accept Islam as a religion in China, right? When they, all of us agree that Christianity is the way, amen? And the window opportunity has now begun to open for all of us. And if you have business in China, just go in there and touch base with the Chinese business people, you know, and the opportunity is great. And I believe that God is going to use many of us here who are sitting in this room while we are still alive, you know, to you to maximize our potential. Because we have a brother, he has got 3 PhD degrees. A PhD degree from Oxford, from from Cambridge and from Harvard. But he did nothing after his retirement. He was enjoying life, he was swimming, listening to nice music, a good Christian, but did nothing. But 3 years ago, he passed away. Isn't it sad? So I believe that God is sending out this message, awakening to all of us, and it was also awakening for me yesterday. You know, that if I were to be, you know, taken home yesterday, you know, then what? And I believe that now I'm going to utilize every moment of my life to, you know, use it for His glory. To God be the glory.
Good afternoon, men. How are you? Getting better by the minute? Amen. Today, I want to share something that the Lord spoke to me very clearly that at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I am not all that happy with Graham Eagle. I have to do a public confession here because, you know, Graham said to me yesterday at a minute's notice, you're speaking tomorrow. And when I was woken early this morning at 2:30, I said, I think, Lord, you've got the wrong room. Because he started to speak to me about New Zealand and his plans for New Zealand. I said, I think you need to go into Graham Eagle's room, Holy Spirit. I think you need to wake him up for 2 reasons. Number one, that he's put me in the deep end tomorrow. And number two, he's the national president for New Zealand. And I believe the word should be giving him. Now, we all know you don't win with the Holy Spirit. And I'm taking a little bit of liberty this morning and or this afternoon and making a little bit of fun of it. But honestly, at the time, that's what I actually thought. So, but firstly, I also want to pay honour to the National Board of New Zealand. I want to tell you, I travel to a lot of places, as my dear friend Tex Singh, a lot of you do. But these men on the National Board, I tell you, I have grown to love them, to respect them. I honour them, the position they hold, and the way they go about doing their godly duties. And you've got some wonderful men in leadership here. I want to tell you, men, and please keep encouraging them in everything they do in this fellowship or through this fellowship. And I have so much respect for them. I want to pray first before I speak. I don't actually normally do this, but I want you to be able to get your spirit to catch what the Spirit of God dropped into my spirit this morning. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, because this is the time. This is your hour for New Zealand. This is their hour. And Lord, I know today you are going to deposit something specifically into the spirit of these men gathered in this room. We've heard a lot of teaching, Lord, about the Holy Spirit yesterday from our dear brother. And he talked about an upper room. I believe today, Lord God, this is an upper room. but for a specific purpose, a different purpose today. And I want to thank you for the honour and the privilege you give me to bring this word to my dear friends and brothers in Christ. Amen. My dear friend, the cameraman, used to ask me in Invercargill every session, what is the topic? What is your topic today? What is the heading? Well, I down there, I'd say, I don't really know. But today, I want to say, this is what it is, my friend. It's time to step out of the boat. Amen. They're the words the Lord woke me with this morning via the Holy Spirit. And I joked a little bit about it, but it was around about 2 a.m. And I had dialogue for some 3 or 4 hours. And I want to share a few points that the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly about. I have a whole page I'm not going to go to that I am going to just go to a few major points. I would encourage you men. I bought some paper here. But I would encourage you, if you can get a piece of paper, to make just the main points down. If you may not, because you may not get the DVD. Now, I don't normally do this either. Not something like this. But I believe this word is so specific. And Brother Dave, can you hand those out? I bought a couple of pads there. Because I believe this is the word of the Lord for this nation and the nations of the world in actual fact. But specifically, I want to concentrate on New Zealand because we are in Auckland, New Zealand. And I have a fondness for this place, New Zealand. My wife and I love coming here. We believe that God has connected us to a lot of you guys here and the ladies. And we love coming here and being part of what God is doing in this nation through this fellowship. I want to share a couple of little things, and I don't want to take any of Gary's time, so if somebody can tell me, please, I think I'm due to finish at 3:15, Graham, if you could give me 5 minutes to wrap up. I want to share some specific points, if I may. I remember being at a conference, much like this in Africa, and I was ministering to a lot of youth, and the youth there are very vibrant, like the youth here, but I think they're probably more vibrant, because they jump, they sing, they dance, they do all sorts of things, even when you're preaching. You just got to get used to that. And I remember in this particular meeting, I was sharing on the life of Jesus and what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. And I was getting quite excited even myself. And as you know, I do get a bit excited even for an Australian. But I was getting quite excited at myself. And when I got to the point, I was sharing about when the disciples were in the boat, and we all know the story, and when Peter got out of the boat. And I said to these young men, I said, you know, I believe if I was in that boat, I would have got out of the boat. And for those that know me, you know I would have done that. Now, I said, I don't know whether I would have walked on the water, but I actually believe I would have and I might have done the same as Peter and lifted my eyes, but I would have walked on the water. Because if I'd been with Jesus during that period of time, I would not have been scared to do that. I would not have a problem getting out of the boat. And I used to do some silly things when I was younger, and some of you probably did before you were Christian and got a little bit more wisdom. But, you know, not things like that, of course. And it was interesting, these young men were so full of faith and so excited, and they were agreeing, yes, they would have got out of the boat. They would have got out of the boat. And then something phenomenal happened. The Holy Spirit hit that place. And I think after about the third time they went down and got up, they didn't quite get the message the first couple of times. They eventually stayed on the ground, and we had a sovereign move of God. Now, I want to share that story with you today, because, man, I believe it's time we got out of the boat. I believe we've been in the boat a long time. I'm talking to FGB men here. I want to share a couple little things why I say that, if I may. You see, there was two specific things the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning. And this was the first thing he said to me. Rod, ask the men this question. What is it all about? What are we about? Now, I haven't got time to get some replies back, and I know you'd probably get the answer. But you know, it took me quite a few years before I actually got the answer. Because I was busy running around doing meetings. All doing lots of things for God. We all do that. And all of a sudden, one day, I had a revelation of what it was all about. Oh yes, it's about a personal walk with Jesus. But I'm talking about the fellowship. It's about souls. Thank you, Tex Singh. It's about souls, man. Yes. This fellowship exists for no other purpose than to win souls for the kingdom of God. You and I, our mandate is to win souls for the kingdom of God. It's not a request, it's a mandate. The anointing that's on this fellowship, on the vision of the fellowship, let's get it right, is soul winning. Man, I want to share something. I want to share some deep stuff with you today because the Holy Spirit was examining my heart as well as he's examining yours right now and continue to do so. And I started to relive some of my 26 years in this four-hour period. And I can remember when I had a revelation about soul winning and what it was about. And I can remember nights when I went to bed, because when I was a young Christian, I was so excited. I wanted to share the gospel of the whole world. I knew the whole world needed to know Jesus as Savior. So wherever I went, I just lived and breathed and slept Jesus. Sadly, over the years, it got less and less that way. And I started to get into a comfort zone. I got in my little boat and started to row. Oh yes, I'd share Jesus when someone asked me. Oh, I'd share Jesus when I'd come up home from a conference. Of course, that's so easy when we're all full of the Holy Ghost and we're all excited. But I knew that I had a revelation the day when I went home and I cried my eyes out. If I get emotional, men, don't worry about it because I don't care. But I cried for this person that I'd prayed for their soul for 20-odd years. And to my knowledge, and we're not here to judge, but he never knew the Lord when he died. And I cried myself to sleep. All of a sudden, I started to understand what it was actually about. Mike, when the Lord was speaking to me about this, and you and I have shared some things, we lost a brother. I lost a brother, you lost a brother. And I tell you, the Lord showed me so much through that myself, and I know you as well. But I want to tell you, and I saw it in the Spirit, that you will see your brother again. I know you prayed for him for 20 years, like I prayed for my brother for 20 years. I saw my brother give his life to Jesus, but the Lord took him home some years ago. And I want to tell you, Michael, God answers that prayer. And you know, men, we need to start to get a revelation of what this is all about. It's not about meetings. Let's get our focus on what we're about. And I'm saying we, I'm talking to me here. Evangelism in the marketplace is our core business. That's it. I was talking to a businessman the other day, and he wasn't even an FGB man, but he'd been to a couple of meetings, and that's what he said to me. He said, "Rod, tell me about FGB." And I started to share some things, and he said, "Well, that's interesting. I thought it was about evangelism in the marketplace." You can't get it any more simple than that. Oh, yeah, we need to do the individual stuff as well. And sorry, guys, if you think I'm preaching a little bit, I know I'm doing a little bit, but I'm just giving it to you how the Holy Spirit gave it to me to tell you. We need to be men of the Spirit. Where's my dear friend from Rotorua? Where is he, the Miao musician friend? Is he here? Here he is. You see, when I started praying, the Lord started to talk to me about Rotorua. I said, "Why are you talking to me about Rotorua? Why aren't you talking to the New Zealand brother about Rotorua?" The Lord said, "Rod, shut up and listen." See, sometimes he talks to me like that. I understand that. And then he started to show me in Rotorua. And I shared some of this with you, but I want to share it with the men. I started to see the men coming out that the God is going to call out of the darkness into the light. You see, as I saw these men walking towards me, they had no faces. And I said, "Lord, what are you showing me?" He said, "Rod, they have no faces because they're not even born again yet. They have no identity in the kingdom right now. But they are going to be born again and spirit-filled, and they are the men that are going to be part of that Rotorua chapter. I speak it by faith, and I speak it as prophetic word, my brother, that is going to happen in Rotorua. And the Holy Spirit is going to give you words, and he's going to give you the names of the men, and you're going to pray them into the kingdom of God. And they're going to be the next lot of full gospel businessmen in Rotorua. I speak it by faith." You see, we're men of the spirit to be men of the Spirit. And one thing my indigenous brothers have taught me over the years is to walk in the Spirit. They've taught me, I don't know it all that well, but they've taught me about the different layers of the spirit world. They've taught me about the things that we can speak into the spirit world, what we can see in the spirit world. And some it's good and some it's not so good. I'm not talking about not so good today. There's plenty of that. You know what I'm talking about, especially those guys that are in deliverance ministry and all that stuff. But you know what? I've learned so much from those brothers. We go there to teach them that, but they teach us. And we need to be men of the Spirit. The one thing I've learned about full gospel businessmen over the years, we're men of the Spirit. If you are born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're a man of the Spirit. And you need to be walking and talking in the Spirit of God. And we've heard a lot of great teaching about the Holy Spirit yesterday. And we'll hear a lot more speak. And you're going to be saying, "Well, Rod, I know some of this stuff." Well, praise God, you do. But I believe there's some men in here, you need to hear what I'm talking about here. You see, a lot of us, we start to try to do it in our flesh. Oh, this little boat is real comfortable here that I'm rowing, you know. I can really do some miles here. I've started to learn in my life. There's certain meetings I don't need to be at. There's certain meetings I shouldn't be at. My brother Keith, where are you? There. That gave my wife a word, I think, yesterday about that. So now we don't just accept any meeting. We need to be listening to the Spirit of God. The Spirit will direct us. I want to dwell for a minute. We've talked about The Happiest People on Earth yesterday. Wonderful book. I read it every year myself, and the vision intensified probably 3 or 4, half a dozen times a year. But there's another book, man, I want to encourage you to get hold of. It's called The Awakening Giant. Have any of you read it? A few. Can I encourage the national office here? I don't know how many copies you've got, Graham. Get those copies into circulation. It will blow your mind. And men, the word I want to bring you today is the awakening giant is awakening. Let me repeat it, men. The awakening giant is awakening as we speak. FGBFI, right now, and Texting would know better than I, globally, is being unified by the power of the Spirit. And I want to thank men like Brother Tech Singh that had the vision and the faith and the foresight to start moving in this direction before some of us didn't. And I want to declare to you today that this awakening giant, is what we've seen so far, is nothing yet. And I want to encourage you men, because there are men in this room, and I'm not going to do a call on this, but there are men in this room, you've been held back by chains. You've been handcuffed. But I want to tell you, this awakening giant is starting to come out of its slumber. And if you read The Awakening Giant and you start to get a comprehension and a revelation of what this fellowship is going to do, or sorry, what the Holy Ghost is going to do through it, let's get it right. And I tell you, there's many people in Australia that wrote the fellowship off for many, many years. But some of them have come back to me and said, Rod, something is happening. There is a stirring in FGB. They're seeing it from outside. They know because they are men of the Spirit. They may not be in the fellowship, but they know the Spirit of God is stirring the giant. And I want to tell you, this giant is going to be a unified giant. If you know anything about the story, when that giant comes to life, you better look out. The devil right now is getting very concerned. We think we've seen demonic activity. We haven't seen nothing yet, men, let me tell you. Because the enemy does not like the sleeping giant arising. And I want to tell you that when this giant, when it comes together, the body of believers, these FGB men around the world come together from all the streams of FGBFI, we are going to see a massive explosion of souls. That's true. You better believe it. But we've got to get this stuff into our spirit. You see, because if you don't read this stuff, if you don't get it into your spirit, how are you ever going to believe it? Because Rod Winder got up and said, no, it's got to come by the Spirit, by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way it comes to us. Because then we start to live, breathe, and sleep it. And I tell you, I hope you men are the same. But I know some aren't probably in this room the same, and probably that's a good thing in a way. But I want to challenge you in this. You know, we need to start to live, breathe, sleep souls. We want to start to live, breathe, sleep, right, what the Lord is doing through this fellowship. Because I tell you, when the giant arises, when the giant starts moving, mountains will move. I'm talking about spiritual mountains that could not ever be moved by any man, by any machinery. And I believe even in the world, in the rest of the, especially in the third world countries, I can stand up here and testify for days and days of the things that are happening where there's been no gospels, never ever gone into these unreached tribes, and the miracles and the things that are happening. Brian and I were talking about Borneo. For goodness sake, here we are. We're talking Sabah, not far from here, on the third wave of revival. The third wave. And I was there. You've been there, brother. Tech Singh. It's happening as we speak. Have a look what's happening in the Islamic countries. Have a look happening in Hindu nations. The giant is rising. And I'm not, just bear with me here, because I'm not saying that, I'm not going with, as far as the overall church body. I'm talking here about FGB now. Okay? So you need to bear with me on this. So the awakening giant. We're going to be raised up. The second thing I want to share, I must watch the time. that the Lord asked me to ask you is this. Who am I? Who are you? Do you know who you are? Should I say, who are you in Christ? See, it doesn't really matter who you are. It's who you are in Christ is what matters. But I want to specifically ask that question, who are you? Are you called to this ministry? I believe you are. I believe that's why you're here. I believe you've got a mandate. I believe you've been, by the Holy Ghost, you've been brought into this ministry. And I want to say this, that this is, in my opinion, and you can talk to me after if you like, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, irrespective of the name, but any of the FGB organization that has the same vision statement and mission statement, is the greatest soul-winning marketplace ministry in the world. I believe that with all my heart. I have believed it from the day that I joined FGB, which is a few weeks after I became a Christian. And I am so more convinced of it today than what I was back then. And back then in the early 80s, FGB in Australia was alive, it was moving, it was on the cutting edge. Things were happening. Salvations every meeting, baptism of the Holy Spirit every meeting, healing, deliverance. It was the norm that happened in FGB. If you talk to anybody in Australia, they knew, in the body of Christ, they knew of FGB. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not here promoting the organisation. No, 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 no. But FGB was on the cutting edge as far as winning souls. And wherever I travel in the world today, irrespective of where the church, whether it be FGB, I am talking to men of God that they had their orders given to them. The Holy Spirit led them out. Hundreds and thousands of them met now through an FGB meeting or an FGB prayer or something to do with FGB. Massive. We often talk about it in our meetings in Australia. We will never ever know the impact until we're up there of this ministry. But I want to say this, the best is yet to come. At least I got three with agreeing me. Thank you, Gary. Amen. I want to share something with you that's very dear to my heart. And the Lord brought it back to my remembrance again this morning. And I shared it in Bicargo for some of you who were there. But I want to share a little bit more. I stood on the beach at Gallipoli, where our diggers, our boys, landed. Hundreds of them drowned even before they got to the shore, actually, when I read the stories. I've read many stories on Gallipoli. And I want to talk to you Kiwis. Because, you know, you Kiwis landed with the Aussies. And, you know, and something was birthed there. And you know what I'm going to say? It's the Anzac spirit. And, you know, I could never understand why I used to watch on TV that service when they televised it. And tears would just come down my eyes. And I would be weeping, saying, Holy Ghost, why am I crying? And when I went there, and the Holy Spirit started to give me a revelation. Men, if you haven't been there, I want to encourage you to go there. It will transform your life. It transformed mine. And I stood on the beach, and I looked up, and I looked right up to the top where the Turks were, and all the trenches they had up there. And when our guys landed, they had nowhere to hide, only the first few yards to the cliff face. And then they were up over the top. And in those days, there was no trees. There was no shrubs. There was nothing. And they had to go up the gullies. And they were picked off by the snipers. They were taken out by the machine guns. They were died in the thousands. Read the history. But what struck me was this. As I stood on the beach, I had a revelation that some of these men, these young kids, they'd lied to even get in there. Some of these kids had lied to get in. They weren't even men. They weren't even boys. And every one of them was a volunteer, like you and I are in this army. Every one of them. And they stood on the beach and they went forward, and so many of them died, and yet some of them were not even believers. They were dying for their country. They died that you Kiwis would be sitting here today. Because I tell you, if they didn't, you probably wouldn't be sitting here today and I wouldn't be talking to you right now. That's a fact. And there's something happened there. It was called the Anzac Spirit. And the Kiwis and the Aussies came together as one in the Spirit. And that still exists today. Because, you see, the first time I came to a conference in New Zealand, that Kiwi Spirit and that Anzac Spirit, Aussie Spirit, became the Anzac Spirit to me. I just connected. Something happened in the Spirit. I can't explain it. I don't try to. But I know we're connected. And then these kids that died and the men that died there. And I want to tell you something, men, and this is what the Holy Spirit said to make sure you understand. Do you know the Kiwis were the ones that actually got to the top? Shanak Bear. They got to the top. It took them days of fighting. They lost thousands. But they actually took the hill. The tragedy was they were blown off the top by their own naval bombardment because of the lack of communication. That's what happened. But they took Shanak Bear. And I went to the Kiwi service there. I went to the service on the beach. And I want to tell you, as I stood there amongst those 8,000 people, and there was around about 6,000, they call them kids, young adults, 16, 17, 18. 8,000 of us stood there, and you could have heard a pin drop. Not a sound. And when that bugle rang out, just before that, I heard, it was so quiet, I could hear the waves lapping on the beach. It was so eerie. The mist was just starting to lift. And then the bugle sounded, and I started to cry. Lord, I now start to understand a little bit. Before this, I didn't really understand. But now I understand. These people died that we might have life. Abundant life. Dinko, you're right. We have an abundant life. And I came home. I said to my wife, I'm never going to be the same again. I'm going back for the anniversary celebration. Because I know I have to go back and revisit that place. And I want to encourage you to do the same. I don't know if you watch it on TV. I think it's televised here, the Anzac. I'm sure it is. I'm sure most of you probably watch it. And some of you probably do the same as me. You just start crying. You don't know why. I tell you, it's the Holy Ghost. A lot of those young men were Christians. Born again. Spirit-filled Christians. That laid their life down. That we might have life. As I said, it was an impossible mission. It was a suicide mission, really. That's what a lot of the people have said since. It was a suicide mission. Couldn't succeed. And we have the Anzac Spirit. I want to finish on this note because I want to pray and then I want to skip. Brother Gary is following me. I will say this, and I heard Gary last night and it was right. The unit he was with was an elite unit. The best. Gentlemen, let me tell you something. You are part of an elite movement. You are part, I believe, please hear what my heart is saying and what the Spirit of God told me. You are part of an elite movement that has been raised by the Holy Ghost for such a time as this. I believe with all my heart where the best is yet to come with this movement. We have seen millions come into the kingdom of God through this movement. We're about to see, I believe, hundreds of millions, literally, come into the kingdom through this movement. And we are called into it. I believe it's a calling. It has to be a calling. We are called into this movement to make a significant difference. I would ask that you would pray about that, and I'm going to pray in a minute as well to cement this. The thing I want to finish with is this. This elite team, Gary, is trained and equipped by the Holy Ghost. So if we are part of this elite movement, which we are, it is trained and been equipped by the Holy Ghost, we can take the nations for Jesus Christ. Guaranteed. Because our commander-in-chief is Jesus himself. what an incredible army we serve in, men. What a privilege. And I want to tell you, men, to me, it's a privilege to serve with you. I love you as a brother in the Lord, but it's a privilege to serve with you. And I believe, as those young Anzacs, when they hit that beach and they looked up there, I'm sure they said, wow, I don't know if this is possible, but we're going to have a go. And the Kiwis got to the top first. I don't know why the Kiwis, Graham, and not the Aussies, but the Kiwis did. Praise God they did. So men, the challenge is before us. We are facing some almost impossible task in some areas, one would say in the general term, but I believe that we can do all things, as Scripture says, through Christ Jesus. I believe it totally with all my heart. And I believe New Zealand, without a shadow of doubt, will bend the knee to Jesus Christ. And I believe that, without a shadow of doubt, that the Full Gospel Bismarck's Fellowship International, this elite group which you are part of, that you are called to be part of, you are going to make a major impact in this move of God at the forefront, because FGB is always at the cutting edge. And men, praise God, we're back on the cutting edge. Could I just get you all to stand? I want to pray a prayer over you, if I may. Is that okay, Graham? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just wait on the Lord. I've learnt never to rush. Let's just wait. Thank you, Lord. Father, we stand in awe of you. I just sense, Lord, that your Holy Spirit right now is hovering in this room. You are touching hearts, souls, and the spirits of men. And Lord, I want to thank you that you did wake me this morning for a word for these men, this elite group of men that are part of a most incredible organization. It's not even an organization, Lord. It's a ministry. This fellowship that has been at the cutting edge for so long has spearheaded so many revivals in nations of the world and is still doing so today. But Father, I'm declaring by faith and what the word you give me, Lord God, that today the revival has already started. Because the revival starts with us, Lord. So our cry today, Lord, not to send the revival because it started, but Lord God, revive me. Lord, speak to the hearts of the men. Lord, touch them with your precious Holy Spirit, that they would walk from this place knowing that they've had an encounter with the Holy Ghost, knowing that Full Gospel Bismarck's Fellowship, Lord God, has the best still yet to come. And Lord, as we move from this place, as we even leave this convention, we know that you go before us. We know, Lord God, that you are speaking to people, into situations, into lives. And Lord, that our life will never be the same. And Father, if I have not been diligent in my duty in this elite corps, Lord God, forgive me. Father, remind me of my calling. Remind me of my destiny in Christ, that I leave here knowing that we have the victory in Jesus Christ. I believe, men, that some of us may need to get on our knees. Some of us need to cry out to God. Some of us may just to weep before the Lord. For sometimes we've not done what He's asked us. And those that we've loved have gone to hell, not to eternity. But Lord, we know that You do not hold unforgiveness against us. But Lord, we repent of that. We repent of, Lord, of our ways. We repent, Lord, of rowing the boat ourselves sometimes. When it was Your boat, Lord, and it's Your oars, Lord. And Lord, it's Your kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's Yours. And we're here to add to it daily. Oh, Lord, we thank You for Your precious Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. I think, Graham, it would be fitting if you as a national president, I just sense if you would just come and pray over us. That as we leave this place, we appreciate the calling that each one of us have, that You've called us to make a difference. Thank you, Graham.
Tik Sing, would you come? I'm going to ask Brother Tik Sing, as National President of Malaysia, if he'd pray over us, and also I'll pray.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Shakarabakoro bokorianda basanda. Kiyambaba so korobokorianda basakarabakarianda bada. Iyambaba so korobokorianda basanda. Oh, Father God, You have spoken. You have spoken through Your servant, Rod, Lord. The Lord, that You are raising us up, Lord, for a time such as this. And Lord, this is the moment. We are going to get out of our boat. We have been in our comfort zone for too long. Father, we ask for Your forgiveness. And Father, that we just pray, the Lord, for Your mercy upon each and every one of us. And Lord, we know, the Lord, that You are going to continue, Lord, to just equip each and every one of us. You have a great plan in store for every one of us here. And Lord, a plan to prosper us, to go and win souls for Your glory. And Lord, that You do not want us to be in the comfort zone anymore. You are calling us out, Lord. And Father, that please, that Lord, that as we continue, Lord, to pray and seek Your face, and Lord, turn away from our comfort ways, and turn away from our wrongful ways. Lord, You say that You will hear from heaven. You will forgive our sins and also heal this land. And Lord, that You have given to our brother in New Zealand a new zeal in this land. And Lord, that You continue, Lord, just to put into them a fire in them. And let them continue to know that, Lord, You have called them for such a time like this, that to go out and win souls, that to go out and touch the marketplace. And Father, that I just pray that, Lord, that You continue to bless each and every one of them physically, emotionally, spiritually, and also financially. And Father, You are going to bless Your people. As Your people continue to do this good work and prepare, Lord, that doing this good work and win souls for Your glory. And we know that, Lord, they are going to get their reward in heaven. And Father, we just want to thank You. Thank You, Father, for Your wonderful hand upon each and every one of them. You empower them. You anoint them. You, Lord, that You equip them. And Father, You use them and send them out. Every one of them, Lord, that who is in this room, they go out and begin to fish for souls. And Lord, New Zealand will never be the same again. The New Zealand, Lord, with all these men who are going out into the marketplace, that You will set New Zealand on fire. And New Zealand will come back to again to You. And Lord, that all the 5 million souls in New Zealand will come back to You for Your glory. Thank You, Lord, that they will not just send and just touch the nations, but to the nations of the world. And Father, that continue, Lord, to let the fire burn in each and every one of them. And we just want to thank You, Lord. Want to bless You in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Amen. Amen.
Time, we're okay, aren't we? Yeah, because I wanted to just give Gary the time, but I just sense, as Brother Tik Singh was first praying then, if you feel that you would like us to pray for you, the leadership, I would encourage you to do that. I just sense that it would not be right of us to close this session, especially if we're running early, because I do want to stay on time. But I think it would be very fitting if we could get the National Board of New Zealand. Quite emotional today, as you can see, but you know, I just sense that we need the National Board and to pray for those of you that feel led. This is not an emotional thing. I'm not into emotions. I'm into the real deal. And if you feel that, you know, God has spoken to you today and that you might need to make a recommitment, I don't know what you need to do, but if you feel you want to come out here and even kneel at the altar, because I'll be probably kneeling at the altar myself, you know, sometimes we got to do business with God. You know, you know, I believe that when we do a word like that, it demands a response. If we don't respond, and I'm not here to get responses, don't get me wrong, but if we don't respond to the Holy Ghost, what's the point? You know, we can leave this place and say, oh, it was wonderful and we were challenged and all that. That doesn't mean anything to me, and it probably needs not much to you. So I just feel we've still got 5 or 6 minutes. You know, if you feel led to do that, it would, to me, you know, I think that would be a good thing to do. Only if you feel led to do that. You can stay where you are. It's not a problem. But there's still people here with unfinished business. And I don't like to close a meeting with unfinished business. Is that okay? Yep. Amen. So, you know, we just leave the altar open.
It's okay, right? The Holy Spirit's leading. Don't worry about the position.
Yeah.
God's leading. Amen.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Gary. Gary, you may come up the front too, please, and Brian. And I'd say, I mean, you know, it's National Board, but I still feel, you know, we've got anointed men of God here. Brian, you please come forward. And, you know, we're just going to open up the altar here, because this is when we do business with God. This is the transformation, men. This is where the transformation starts, is right here. And I just want to encourage you to do that.